Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump in through the Psalm. Psalm 23 is just such an amazing psalm, and David does a great job. And I tell you what, if you haven't gotten the book, what was the name of that book? It's a really good one. Oh, I wrote it and then I deleted it. Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, I think is the name of it, by the name of Philip Keller, I think it is. Such a good song, good book. And he goes into so much more detail about this, and I'm using him to help me a little bit to understand what David is talking about here. And I wasn't going to talk about this, but it's really interesting. Have you ever been to like a sports game or something where you're watching this sports game and you may not really be familiar with the sports game at all? And then, maybe it's like lacrosse. I don't know if you know lacrosse. Maybe you do know lacrosse. I don't know. Or maybe it's like, cricket. You know, have you ever watched cricket before? Where they, not the kind, you know, where you, like you hit the little ball, you know, I don't remember what that kind of thing is, but it's like this game where you really don't know the rules, right? And you're watching it and you're like trying to figure out, what is this? You're kind of getting it, you know, but it's not really clear. And then somebody comes sit next to you, one of your friends comes and he starts explaining the game to you. This is why this guy is doing this. This is why they're doing the strategy that they're doing. And as the game progresses, he's explaining all of these things to you in a way that makes perfect sense. Oh, that's why they're doing that. Oh, that's why their defense is like this, or why they're trying to set up their offense in this way. Things make a lot more sense when you have somebody sitting with you describing the things that are happening and showing you those things. And it opens up the game. It opens up what you're seeing in a much more clear and in a much more evident way, right? This is exactly what we're getting to experience in Psalm 23. Not just in how a shepherd describes the thoughts of David the shepherd, but also more importantly, the thoughts of David the shepherd describing the actions of our good shepherd. This is David giving us a play-by-play of Jesus, our good shepherd, and somebody else watching with us and explaining the play-by-play. Philip Keller explaining David's play-by-play, explaining God. It's like a twofold play-by-play description. Really interesting. And so this is kind of what we get to experience. God's goodness described and explained in a great way. So let's go over these things that we've seen so far. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. Of all the shepherds that I could have," David said, "the Lord is my shepherd. And because I have the best, there is no need for me to want, no need for me to desire or need any other shepherd beside the Lord." Verse 2 says this, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters," all through the sheep's life. The shepherd has fully cared for him to the point where he can comfortably and confidently sprawl down in green pastures as he knows that his needs are fully met because of the care of his shepherd. Verse 3 continues on, "He restoreth my soul." We talked about how when the sheep sometimes is cast or flipped over on its back and he can't get up, the shepherd comes to rescue him, to restore him, to put him back on his feet. In the same way, our shepherd, in seemingly hopeless situations where we feel like we are turned upside down, we can confidently and expectantly wait for him to come to restore us. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Just as a shepherd leads his sheep from one pasture to the next, he leads him on into the paths of righteousness. As he leads him from one pasture to another, he reminds the sheep that he has everything prepared and planned out for him. He is providing for his needs. He leads the sheep. And in the same way, our shepherd leads us into paths of righteousness the righteousness in which we find joy in the presence of our shepherd. And it helps us to see that we can truly trust him, that we can follow him, knowing that he will wisely lead us from pasture to pasture. And then last week, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Last week, we learned how even in our journey, and for the shepherd and the sheep, he's making this journey up into the early summer months from the home ranch, per se, up into the mountain pastures. And in doing so, it goes through the valleys up into the mountain pastures where there are dangers, where there are difficulties. But the shepherd leads the sheep through there, knowing that up into the mountain pastures, there will be coolness from the summer heat. There will be plenty of fresh green pasture on which the sheep can feed plentifully. So he leads them through that valley, even through the danger where enemies are present, where predators are present, where dangers are all around the sheep. But knowing that danger, the shepherd provides and cares for the sheep and makes sure to protect the sheep as they make their journey up into the mountain pasture. His rod of protection and his staff of guidance protect the sheep, and they comfort the sheep as they make that journey up. In the same way, you and I, as we journey through dangerous and sometimes quite scary valleys in our lives, we also recognize that this is part of the path that our shepherd has chosen for us to lead us into those high grounds. And even in those journeys, we are safe because he is present with us. You are with me. What a great thing to see, isn't it? Today, we're going to spend the summer season in verse 5. Verse 5 reminds us of the summer season that the sheep enjoy with their shepherd on those high mountain pastures. And we're going to look at what it looks like. And even in this high pasture, high mountain pastures, this summer season, verse 5 is where David describes that. And just the goodness of the life that they enjoy on this high pasture, but also from some very specific ways in which the shepherd cares for his sheep on the high mountain pasture. And it reminds us of how Jesus cares for us too. This is what it says. Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In this verse, we see two ways in which David describes how the shepherd cares for his sheep on these high mountain pastures, and also the response of the sheep in relation to how the shepherd cares for his sheep. So here on the high mountains, the air is cool. Oh, can you imagine what it must be like for those sheep? I mean, you know, the hot, looking, think down below, down in the home ranch area, it's hot. It's summertime. It's burning hot. I mean, we're starting to get to experience that a little bit, right? It's starting to get really hot, right? And so for the sheep, you know, they got their wool coats on. You know, it's hot and probably very unbearable for them, you know, but they don't have to go through that. They get to go up into the high mountain where it's cool, where the grass is fresh and it's green, and they get to enjoy the coolness even in the middle of a hot, unbearable summer. And life is good here, but life is good only because the shepherd has prepared this time for them. Life is good only because of the hard work, the constant protection, and the wise attentiveness of their shepherd. So we're going to see how he does that. First is this first phrase, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Preparing a table. David starts out by saying, you prepare a table before me. What is he talking about here? Even here in the high mountain pastures, the shepherd still has a lot of things that he has to do in order to prepare for his sheep to arrive on the pasture. And he does it ahead of time. He plans for it and prepares for it. So one of the things he does is actually prepare the pasture in which they're going to be staying. He literally prepares their table. That means planning out where the sheep are going to be grazing through the summer. You know, you got to make sure that there are where the places are going to be, that the sheep are going to be, how the grazing pattern on the high mountain pasture is going to be. He's got to check for any plants, any dangerous, any harmful plants that could potentially cause illness to the sheep or even kill the sheep. So he's got to weed all those dangerous plants out. He's got to plan out where they're going to be feeding. He has to make sure that the sources of water on these high mountain ranges are well prepared. There's not any, that they're not filled up with dirt or debris. He's got to make sure that there's plenty of water for them. Maybe even make a dam or something around them to make sure that there's plenty of water during the summertime. So he's got to do all that preparation. But he also has to make sure that his sheep are safe, because you're going into their territory, the territory of where the predators live. And so he has to be extra careful. Before the east sheep even go up, he's checking. He goes up to check for the signs, to make sure that there aren't any signs of dangerous animals. And if he does find some of those signs of their presence, he's got to figure out how to protect them from him. Does he have to go hunting? Does he have to go trap the predators? Does he have to hunt for the predators in order to make sure that they are not in the area in which his sheep are going to be grazing? Once he knows that his grazing areas are safe, then he goes to plan out where they're going to be sleeping at night. What corrals are there for them to, what does he have to prepare in order to have a safe place for his sheep to spend the night? All of this is done for the protection and the care of the sheep. It really is interesting. Think about this for a second. So it's the mountaintop experience for the sheep, right? It's the cool summer. Life is good. But even when life is good, there are still things that could potentially cause all kinds of difficulty for the sheep. There is still the presence of enemies. The enemies haven't gone anywhere. They're still there. And yet the shepherd prepares for them a great place to enjoy life, even when they are in the presence of their enemies. And the reason? Because his protection and his presence is still there, because it's still needed, even on these high summer ranges. And all of this, the shepherd prepares for them ahead of time, even before the sheep start their journey up into the high mountain pastures, even before they start going through the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd has already gone on before them, planning and preparing, going through each step that the sheep will be going through, and planning and preparing for every step of their journey and every step of their presence in the high mountain pastures. He plans and he prepares even before the sheep take their first step. He fully prepares their table before them, even in the presence of their enemies. And this is so helpful for us, because this is exactly what our good shepherd does for us. Our good shepherd has gone on before us, and he has walked ahead of the path that we take. He has faced the temptations that we face. He has endured the sufferings that you and I may need to endure. He has felt the very sorrows that you and I may feel. He doesn't just know you intimately, he knows the path you're walking on intimately as well, because he has gone on it before you. Doesn't this remind us of what Hebrews 4:15 says? Doesn't this remind us of how our shepherd cares for us because of the fact that he has walked on ahead of us? Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He's gone on before you. He loves us because he loves us, and because he knows us, because he has walked on our path ahead of us, He has already made sure that we have protection in him, even in the presence of our enemies. It's interesting that oftentimes in the valley, we're very clear. We're clearly aware of the dangers that surround us, right? We see them face to face. And sometimes we are overwhelmed by the enemies that we face. But it's important for us to remember that when we are in the ground of blessing, when we're in the times of goodness and the times of overflowing grace, even in those times, we must be aware of the fact that protection is still needed, even in the high grounds of blessing. And so don't forget that. Don't forget the temptations. They may be different temptations that you may face in the valley. They may be different from the temptation of fear and panic and running away to the temptation of casual unawareness. The temptations may change, but they are still there. Your enemies are still present. Satan, the roaring lion, is still seeking to see who he can devour. But your good shepherd has already gone on ahead. Your good shepherd has already gone on ahead of you to prepare the help that you need in him, regardless of whether you're in the valley or whether you're on the mountaintop. And his grace is fully available to you. Look at what Hebrews 4:16, the next verse says. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It isn't just in the valley that you need to stay close to your shepherd. It isn't just in the valley that the presence of your shepherd gives you comfort. It's also in the high mountains. It's also in the high mountain, the time of blessing, in which it is so important for you to stay close to your shepherd. Stay close to the source of your help. This makes us think about where we are right now, doesn't it? In my time of the valley, yes, run to my shepherd, but how about in my times of blessing? Do I see a tendency for me to wander away a little bit, to be a little bit more casual with the time that I spend with my shepherd? Mom and dad, are you helping your children to see the importance of staying close to your good shepherd? Even in the mountaintop times when you enjoy the blessings of God, the enemies have not disappeared. They are still there. Even here, it is important that you stay close to your shepherd. Here on these high mountains, not only do you have the calm assurance of the protection of your shepherd and the way that he has prepared for you as you stay close to him, but you also get to enjoy the nourishment of the grass of the pasture in which he has prepared for you, the table that he has prepared for you. Well, what is that table for us as believers? I believe with all my heart that it is the Word of God, his Word that he has prepared for you. Everything that you need is in Scripture, fully available for you to enjoy, to grow in, to find nourishment, to find help and care. Everything in God's Word is fully there to help you to see how good your shepherd is. Isn't it what David said? Do you remember what David said in Psalm 34:8? Listen to what he says and see how it helps us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. It is through feeding on his word, through the help of his spirit in us, that we get to taste for ourselves the full, satisfying joy of all of the ways in which Jesus, our shepherd, is good. Isn't it? There's another aspect that's really interesting that we see in Psalm 23:5. Let's go back real quick to Psalm 23:5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's so good, right? But there's an interesting aspect here. Thou anointest my head with oil. What does that mean? What's that talking about? Well, summertime. Shepherds, apparently this is the very famous thing. Maybe if you're in ranching or any kind of caring for animals, you may know this. Summertime is fly time. In the context of, even on the mountain pastures, summertime is when the flies come out and cause all kinds of problems for the sheep. There's a bunch of different flies, but there's one fly in particular that's really interesting that I'm going to focus in on, especially as it concerns the sheep. It's called the nasal fly. The nasal fly is especially difficult and harmful to the sheep. And it's even up into the mountain pastures. And what the nasal fly does is it tries to lay its eggs inside the nose of the sheep. I mean, that right there is like horrible. You know what I'm saying? I'd hate to be a sheep, you know? Oh man, what, you got nose problems? Oh yeah, bad nose problems. You know, you got nasal flies in your nose. Oh, that's horrible, horrible, horrible. So when the eggs hatch, the larvae actually bury themselves into the flesh further up into the nose. And when that happens, it's so painful and it's irritating. I mean, oh, that would be horrible. Can you imagine? I mean, sheep, there's literally nothing a sheep can do to help himself. I mean, okay, like humans have fingers. I'm just saying that. That's enough. Sheep have hooves. There's nothing that can be done. And I mean, there's moving on. It's just horrible. It's just horrible. And you know, they're irritated. So they'll bang their heads on trees. They'll bang their heads on rocks. They'll try to rub their head into the ground to do anything to relieve them from the pain and the misery that these nasal flies can cause, right? So when they come for the sheep, they do everything they possibly can to avoid them. They'll run away from the flies. They'll move their head up and down like this for hours just to make sure that the flies just can't get to their nose. They'll do anything they can to avoid these tiny, pesky little flies. And these flies will irritate them to no end, to the point where sheep can be literally exhausted. They don't have time to eat. They don't have time to drink. They're just exhausted because of the presence of these tiny, annoying flies. Can you imagine how difficult it must be for them? Until the shepherd cares for them. How does the shepherd care for them? Well, he puts a small mixture of oil and spices on the sheep's head and around its nose. What that does is it deters them. It's like a fly repellent. When he puts that mixture of oil and spices, specific spices, to repel the flies away from them, after he puts that on them, the flies stop trying to nest where they would have previously. And that changes how the sheep respond to that. They can calm down. They literally, once they have that mixture on their head and around their nose, it calms them down and it helps them to be able to rest and completely enjoy being in the presence of their shepherd, enjoying the grass and enjoying the contentment of sprawling down in the pasture. Those tiny flies no longer are irritating. Here's the thing though, it isn't just a one-time application. The shepherd constantly does it throughout the summer season. Every couple days, maybe every week, every couple of days, once he sees the flies, the sheep are starting to get irritated with those flies again, he whips out his mixture of oil and spices and puts it on the heads of the sheep and puts it on the nose of the sheep in order to continue to care for his sheep. It's a lot like us, isn't it? How we find ourselves often becoming really annoyed, really irritated over really small, tiny things. Even in our seasons of blessings, it's amazing how we can let the small things of life rob the joy and the contentment of being in our shepherd's presence. And that is why, in his kindness to us, he anoints us with oil. He gives us his spirit to help us. And it is his spirit that produces the very things that counteract our fleshly irritations. Galatians 5, if you read through these and look at how these different things are very calming and very relaxing and very helpful for our soul and for our spirit, the things that the Holy Spirit produces in us in Galatians 5:22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the things that the Holy Spirit produces in us. And the things that the Holy Spirit produces in us, the effect of that, the fruit of that, is calm assurance, gentleness, peace, joy. The things that the Spirit produces in us allow us to enjoy the calm presence of our shepherd. Just like the sheep, just like they need the consistent application of the anointing of the oil on their heads, so we also need the regular help of our shepherd, in which he consistently pours his Spirit on our soul. This is why he tells us to regularly, as those who live in the Spirit, to regularly walk in the Spirit. Verse 25, Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, if we have the Spirit within us, walk in the Spirit. Have that regular time of submitting yourselves to the Holy Spirit. When we regularly and consistently submit ourselves to the Spirit's leading, we will discover that he starts changing our hearts to be more like Jesus. And the effect of that, you know, those small flies, those fleshly frustrations, those things that used to drive us crazy, that overwhelmed our thoughts, they start to get a little less irritating. They start to get a little less noticeable in our lives because we discover that we are able to focus our mind through the presence of the Spirit in us to be able to focus our mind on the presence of our shepherd. The flies may still be there. They haven't gone away, but he has anointed our head with his oil, and his Spirit has given us peace and joy, even in the presence of those fleshly frustrations. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? In all of this, what is our response to our good shepherd? Verse 5, the very end of Psalm 23:5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. But finally, my response, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. He has prepared everything for me. He has met my every need. He has made me fully satisfied in him. His grace is so sufficient that it not only fills my life, it starts overflowing out of my life as well. His grace not only fills my cup, but it also overflows my cup and pours out into the lives of those around me. And we're going to see this a little bit more in the next verse. It flows out of my life, overflowing his grace is. This is the grace of our shepherd. It fills our cup, but it also to the point where it overflows out of our lives and into the lives of those around us. As you abide in the presence of your shepherd, as you enjoy all that he has prepared for you, let his grace fill you. Let his grace fill your soul to the point that it's not just filling your soul, but it naturally overflows out of your soul. Your focus is on the goodness and the grace of your shepherd to the point where you can't help but share that goodness and grace with those around you. Let that grace, your shepherd's grace, overflow in your life. Let it pour out into the life of those around you. And in doing so, let that overflowing grace draw them to the source of your overflowing grace, which is your good shepherd and how he cares for you. Even in the blessings of the high mountains, yes, there is the presence of enemies. Yes, There are the presence of fleshly frustrations. But even there, our good shepherd has gone on before us, has prepared the way for us to be able to conquer every temptation, for us to have protection from every enemy. His presence is still there, and his spirit in us gives us peace and calm assurance of his grace that will not stop flowing in our lives. And through that, as we stay in his presence, as we abide in him, as he abides in us, as we run to the throne of grace, stay close to the throne of grace, and find the grace and the mercy that we need, and as that flows into our lives, my prayer is that it not only fills my life up, but it overflows and it helps those around me to see where the source of this amazing grace is from. Not from me, but my good shepherd. And I pray that that is how you respond. Let your cup overflow. In order for that cup to overflow, stay close by your shepherd. Don't wander off. Even in these times where it seems like, oh, I don't need to be in the church building, don't let that keep you from being in the presence of your shepherd, who walks with you not just on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on. Every day, enjoy the presence of your shepherd. During the valleys where life is difficult, cling to his side. And during the times of blessing where life seems to be going smoothly, don't forget that your enemy's presence is still there. Don't forget the temptations are still there. While they may be a little bit different from the valley time, stay close to your shepherd. Abide in him as he abides in you. And in so doing, let his grace flow into your life and overflow into the lives of those around you. All right, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being our good shepherd. As we search scripture and as we see your words, your life-giving words to give us eternal life through faith in you. Help that faith in you to continue to grow in our lives here on earth, so that not only do we enjoy the future hope of life everlasting with you, but also here on earth, as we travel through valleys and mountaintops, that faith in you will grow in our lives so that we see how good you are through your word and through your spirit in us. Help us to feast on your word. Help us to have that anointing of oil, that anointing of spirit, regularly seeking you to have that anointing of your oil on us to keep our fleshly frustrations away from our spirit, so that we will be filled with the joy and goodness and the effects of the spirit in our lives as he changes us. Thank you for the ways in which you have blessed us and help us to abide in you. Thank you for the ways in which you've showed us that through this verse 5 in Psalm 23. And for that, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.